Have you ever been wrongly judged because someone didn't know the whole story? If so, you're not alone. However, what matters most is not what others think they know about you, but how your Heavenly Father sees you from His perspective. Listen now as Evangelist Sean Tabb preaches on The Way God Sees You.
1 Samuel chapter 16, the Word of God said this in verse number 7, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Amen.
Father, I sure do love you today. I thank you, God, for your love. It's unconditional and it's unmerited, and I bless you and thank you for your care, God. There's no earning that. We're not worthy of it, but I thank you for your care. God, I pray that you'd speak to our heart. Every child of God that hears this message, I pray, God, you'd give them exactly the word from heaven that the individual saint of God needs to hear out of this word.
Amen.
God, I pray if there's anyone lost that listens, I pray, God, that you would draw the sinner unto Christ. God, that they would see themselves as undone before the Almighty, Holy God.
Amen.
And see the destiny of hell. But also, God, to recognize, realize, accept, and embrace the destiny of heaven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And believing upon Him as their Savior. I pray, God, I raise my hands to Thee and bless Thee, Father. You are worthy, God, of praise and honor and glory, God. It is no burden to worship Almighty God. I bless Your name today and praise You. Help us now, I pray, out of Thy Word. Guide my mind in this message, I pray, in my lips, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm interested in this one little phrase in our verse here. It said this, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. The story here, to refresh your mind, is that Samuel, the man of God, has been sent by God to anoint somebody in Jesse's household to be the next king. God has washed his hands, so to speak, of Saul. Saul is a rebellious-hearted king,
yes,
and he even dips into witchcraft, not like as rebellious as witchcraft, but he even dips into it eventually. And God said, I'm done with this one. This is the one the people wanted.
Yeah.
By the way, you better be careful who the people lift up.
Yes.
Better make sure that God is on the person that's lifted up before you.
Yes.
And so God said, hey, it's proven out. Now, it's been evidenced to everybody, he will not obey me. He will not do what I've sought him to do. I've stripped the kingdom from him.
Right.
And eventually we'll find out that Saul is killed with his sons on the battlefield. And God said to Samuel, now I'm Jericho, and anoint a boy in Jesse's household to be the next king. And so Jesse receives Samuel, and they set up an altar and sacrifice and everything. And then Samuel says, now let's find this boy that God has to be the next king. And so Jesse begins to pray to his boy, starting with the oldest, starting with Eliab, the finest, the biggest, the strongest. And he stands before Samuel. Samuel immediately says, this has got to be the one that God wants. Again, I remind you, God said, I don't look on the outside like you do. And said, God said, I don't want Eliab. Then he went on down through every other boy until he got to the end of the boys that were in the house. And Samuel begins to scratch his head. God's not chosen anyone. So he turns to Jesse and says, Jesse, do you have any other boys? You've got them. God sent me here to your household.
Yeah.
Jesse said, yes, I do. There's one more. He ain't quite fit into the family, but he is my son, and he's out in the field with the sheep.
Yeah.
And Samuel said, go get that boy.
Yeah.
And so Jesse brings David in. David's a ruddy boy. David just doesn't look necessarily like kingly material as Eliab did. But here comes David up in there.
Oh,
maybe they had to put him on a chair to stand before the man of God. And immediately Saul's heart did a flip, and God just choose.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, our key verse here, the Bible said that God, the Lord looketh not, seeth not as man seeth.
That's right.
I'm glad of that today.
Amen,
rejoices my heart today. I want to go through some thoughts with you, and I hope that it'll be a help to you. I noticed that when we first see David come on the scene, he is invisible. They have put him on the backside of the shepherd's field, and they've ignored that he is part of the household. I am convinced out of Psalm chapter 51, verse 5, I am fully convinced that David is illegitimate. And he's been pushed outside by his family, ignored and not even considered by his father.
Yeah.
And he's invisible to the people. He's invisible to his own family. Here comes a great prophet looking for the next king, and David is not considered to be that by anybody, not in the family, not in the town. It just doesn't look like that should be David. I'm glad God doesn't look at things. I'm glad God doesn't see us the way we see other people sometimes.
Yes, sir, brother.
His brothers disdained him. You get into the next chapter and comes on the battlefield and Eliab disdains him. What are you doing here on the battlefield? I know you're naughty heart. You need to get back to them few sheep. In other words, you don't do nothing. You're no count. Why are you here? He's disdained by his very brethren. Sometimes the world doesn't know where you are, doesn't know who you are, but God always knows where you are.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Feeling invisible, yet God knows you. God is the answer to our search for significance and acceptance. You know how many people spend all their time on Facebook trying their best to get somebody to compare them, somebody to speak highly of them, somebody to like what they said. Okay, son, you don't need Facebook to find significance and acceptance. God Almighty is your creator. God Almighty sees you as you are, where you are, and he will accept you through his son, the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir, brother. Yeah.
The way God sees it is not the way we see it.
That's right.
God doesn't see it the way your circumstances describe things.
Yeah.
Oftentimes our circumstances seem to be insurmountable.
Yeah.
How can we overcome? How can we exist with this? How can we find victory through all of this? One place David said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. How can I deal with this poverty? How can I deal with these struggles and lies and these hurts and all these things that they seem like they're going to overwhelm me? But I'm glad that if God be for us, who can be against us? Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. He will make a way. It doesn't matter what the circumstances describe to you in your heart. Get close to God and hear the heart of God, and he will see you. David said, Psalm 138, that God will perfect that which concerneth me. In other words, that part of you that you pour out of your heart in your pride before Almighty God, David said, God will perfect that which concerneth you. He heals and he will move and he will
heal. Yes, sir, brother. Oh, yeah.
It's not the way the circumstances describe it. God sees it different. God sees it different than the way others decree it.
Oh, yeah.
Man sees you as undone. Why aren't we critical of each other's shortcomings? We're quick to point things out. We've gone beyond judging one another. Now we just cancel each other. Now I just say, delete you, block you, take you off of this account, stop you being named in the news. We just totally cancel you out like you don't exist. I'm going to tell you something. The world just come into all this new era of cancel culture, but the church has been doing it for years. Maybe we taught them how to do it.
Yeah.
It's not the way others decree it to be about you.
Right,
man sees you undone, but God sees you as his creature and as his child. God does not evaluate you based on your humanity. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Amen.
Forget about sin. Your feet stink this morning.
Yeah.
Calling you out, every one of us.
Amen.
Your humanity, God. Aren't you glad God doesn't evaluate you based on your humanity?
Yeah,
he evaluates you based on his son. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
We sure hit each other's humanity apart. We sure do see our faults and our failures. Are you blind? He looks at you. Are you deaf? He hears you.
Yeah.
Are you lame? He runs to you. Is your back bent over? He lifts you. Do you talk uneloquent? He speaks good words to you. God has never rejected anybody because of their humanity. If they come to his son, Jesus Christ, he will accept you. It matters not your race. It matters not your money situation. It matters not the environment or circumstances you're in. It matters not your family. God will accept you through his son, Jesus Christ. The only thing that matters is what does God see in you?
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Lord, look upon the heart. Man sees you unforgiven for your sins.
Yeah.
They'll bring it up from 20 years ago and try to destroy you with your sins. God says, Jesus said, it's finished on the cross. What's finished? Your forgiveness is finished.
Yes, sir, brother.
You've been made clean and righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
David later on committed that sin with Bathsheba. His heart broke. He fasted before God, but then when God was done with the judgment of his sin, David raised up in victory in God and went on with his life, comforted his new wife Bathsheba, and lived on for God. And that scripture, and I mean the word of God when I say that, but you come along, you got a man named Shimeah throwing rocks at him, talking bad about him. Listen, God does not see you the way other people see you.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, brother.
Man sees you as overboard.
Yeah.
You just, you know, I love your pastor, brother Mike, and when he comes, that same spirit say, but where he goes, whether it's in the restaurant, whether it's up there hanging on to your heart, whether it's in another church, he's just all in for God. Aren't you glad you got a pastor like that?
Amen.
But others will say you're overboard. David began to worship God in 2 Samuel chapter 6, bringing in the ark of God into Jerusalem. And he was so filled up and thrilled, he began to dance before the Lord. He took off his kingly robes, took off his crown. He didn't feel worthy to dance before God with a crown on his head. He slayed all the kingly stuff aside and began to worship God. He, his wife, Michael, leaned out the window, scoffed at him in her heart, despised him in her heart, and said, you've made yourself a fool before everybody. What in the world you doing? David said, I'll be more base in my own sight. You weren't there when I was in the shepherd's field and everybody ignored me. I was invisible and nobody cared about me. You weren't there when God came and got me. And I'll tell you something today. It matters what anybody thinks. You were the only one there when God saved you out of your sin and out of your mouth. And so forgive them what they said and just go on the Lord and worship to God.
Amen.
Man sees you as overboard. God delights in your praises.
Yes.
Man sees you as unable.
Yeah.
God sees you as able.
Amen.
He come into the battlefield in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And he's scratching his head. What in the world? Everybody's here hiding in the ditches. Mighty men of Israel. His own brother Eliab hiding in the ditch.
Yeah.
And David said, is there not a cause?
Yeah.
What are you people doing? That giant out there is mocking our God. David didn't see his size. David didn't see his muscles. David saw that he was mocking the holy God, and something had to be done about it.
Amen.
But nobody thought him able. Listen to me this morning. Nobody thought that he was able. Even Saul dressed him up and down. What in the world? We're going to send you out. David said, you weren't there. I took care of a lion one time. You weren't there. I took care of a bear one time. What's this uncircumcised Philistine? He's violating God. And I'm willing to go up against him.
That's right.
I said, you're able to put this armor on. He said, I can't take this armor. He said, well, you got it. It's got a little sling right here, and I'll grab some stones on the way to heal.
Yeah.
You're not able, David. Just leave me alone. Just let me alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to step forward to serve God. I'm going to step forward to do something mighty for God. I know I'm weak. I know I'm not strong. I know I'm a nobody. But just leave me alone. I'm going to go serve God while the goat's standing up here. I'm not calling her out, but I'm trying to strengthen my family in this. And little Breeby said, Dad, I can't sing that next song. I can't hardly breathe. I can't. If you listen, you heard Ashley breaking her ear when she was singing the song. But I tell her, listen, you'll never know the strength of God unless you step out of your weakness in the hand of God and you for God. I want to know what Paul said. When I am weak, then am I strong. You'll never know that by cowering down. You'll never know that by saying I'm uneloquent. I can't deliver God's people. You'll never know the great mighty hand of God upon your life until you're weak and you're broken. And the Lord says, you're unable. And that's where Almighty God steps in and says,
That's good.
Man sees you as unworthy.
Yeah.
But God sees you and His Son completely worthy. Later on, David has been run out of Jerusalem by his own son. And a man named Ahithophel has stepped up to counsel Absalom, the new king, and the whole kingdom on how to destroy David. Because he's not worthy to be king because of what he did. There's a whole lot of them these days. They call it in the New Testament Pharisees. Yeah. They're the ones that threw that woman down before Jesus and said she'd been caught in adultery. They're the ones that said that woman, the alabaster box, don't even know where she's been. And stretching him and anointing his feet. Don't they know this kind of woman right here? And they're the ones that will try to destroy and say you're not worthy. But yet God stopped Ahithophel's counsel. God destroyed Ahithophel before the kingdom. And before you know it, David's not the one who died. Ahithophel's the one who died. Be careful who you try to destroy in your bitterness. Who you try to undo in your bitterness. Who you try to decree they're not worthy to serve God. Go on and serve God anyways. See it the way God sees it. They used to preach if you're still alive, God's got a job for you to do. Ain't nothing changed. You're still alive and God wants to use you. So don't listen to everybody says you're not worthy to serve God.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
God sees you different
Yes, sir.
Than the way other people see you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a story told of Guy Harvey. And this is what he said. He said, this past summer, I went to Walmart for some supplies. I quickly did my shopping. But the people I was with, they kept on browsing. He said, I had some time to kill, so I was looking around, comparing socks and things. He said, the department right next to me was the ladies' department. He said, I wasn't paying attention. There was ladies looking at clothes. There was a lady nearby. He said, I didn't pay attention to anything until I heard a commotion. He said, a little 8-year-old girl ran up to her and said, oh, mother. She was out of breath. He said, look at this dress. She was holding up a black dress, still on its finger. The mother, he said, do you like that dress? Call me. And the little girl said, I absolutely love this dress. The mom said, do you want that dress? More than anything, the little 8-year-old girl exclaimed. The next words he said that came out of the mother's mouth almost caused him to collapse to the floor. She said, that dress is for a pretty little girl. She paused and she said, you are not a pretty little girl. Now go put it back. He said, she turned back to browsing in the racks. He said, I stood there in shock among the socks. He said, I'm not very emotional, but my eyes were filled with tears at the witness of this scene. He said, it wasn't the cruel words uttered by the mother that bothered me most. It was the reaction of the child. If she had stomped her feet and said, I can't believe yet you said that to me, he said, I would have felt better. Perhaps his mother was just having a bad day and spelled a bad judgment. But instead, he said, the little girl's smile vanished. Her shoulders dropped. She turned and left, probably to go hang back up the dress. He said, that told me that she had heard this sort of thing before. Probably often. If you're not careful, you will begin to agree with the naysayers in your life. You will begin to live like you're not able. You'll begin to live like you're unworthy to serve you. You'll begin to live like you don't have any strength. I'm telling you, God sees you different. If everybody else sees you, give you this and I'll get done. It's not the way the circumstances describe it. It's not the way the people decide it, but it's also not the way that your own heart declares it.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we are our own worst enemy.
Oh, Oh, yes. Right.
Yes, I would say this about David without pointing out everything that happened in his life. Did you know David has more chapters in the Bible than any other person except Jesus?
Yes, sir. Oh,
God specifically wrote 40 chapters of your Bible about David. Wow. We could walk through him, and the reason God said he's a man after my own heart, God delighted in this man.
Oh, yeah.
And we could walk through his life, and we could pull out when he was afraid. We could pull out when he acted like he was crazy. Instead of living in faith and by faith and trusting God, he told Jonathan, I'm going to die, and went, tried to hide in the heathen country. We could talk about the lack of faith. We could talk about the great sin David committed. We could talk about the way he numbered the people and called 70,000 people, whatever, to get killed. We could talk about his failures.
Yes,
I'll tell you something, the whole thing David did, he didn't listen. He didn't listen to his own heart.
No.
Yes, sir.
Right. He listened to God's heart.
That's right.
He didn't agree with the way his heart was talking about him. God said his heart is desperately wicked, is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The next verse of Jeremiah says, I, the Lord, search the heart.
Yep.
Listen to your own heart. It'll deceive you. Yes. Your own heart shows you your own messes. David said later on in Psalms, my sin is ever before me. If you're not careful, you'll live under the guilt of the sin that you did 20 plus years ago, and God doesn't see you that way anymore.
Amen.
Your heart's doing it.
Amen.
Your heart shows you your mess. Your heart shows you the mess of your home. The heart shows you the mess in your marriage, the mess in your labors, the mess in your ministry, the mess in your ministering, the mess of your dreams, the mess of your parenting, the mess of your friendship and your relationship. Your heart shows you everything messy about you, and the whole world now is filled with people in deep, 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 dark depression because they're listening to their own heart instead of seeing things like God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Same subjective.
Yes, sir.
Satan's objective is to kill you,
that's right,
to steal from you, and to destroy you.
Hey, that's right.
Amen.
And he may not kill you, but he has destroyed a lot of God's people.
Yes, sir.
He has stole from them their peace, their joy, their confidence in God, their victory over their past sins and over their shames, and he has destroyed them with it. Your own heart. It's not, God doesn't see it the way your own heart sees it.
That's right.
One place Paul said in Romans chapter 7 at the end of the passage, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Which talking about Paul, he said, when I want to do good, I end up doing wrong. When I don't want to do wrong, I end up doing it. And I want to do good. Oh, wretched man that I am. Well, pay attention to your own heart, it'll mess you up.
Yes, sir.
It'll cause you to think Christ didn't pay it all.
That's right.
It'll cause you to think that God is not for you.
Right.
It'll cause you to think that God on the next breath is looking to stamp your life out.
Right.
And I'm telling you, as a child of God, you're a child of the King.
Yes, sir.
He sees you different than the way your own heart sees you.
Yes, sir.
And to be truthful, we are all the things that our heart calls us out for. But God never told you to live under your own heart.
Amen.
He told you to live under his heart.
Yes, sir.
He told you to live in his love. He told you to live in his confidence and in his care for you. Did you know this? And I gotta move on and get done, but the more you listen to your own heart, the more you add more mess to your life.
Yes,
that's right.
You know why somebody can't get out of sin? Because they're, I'm just so sinful.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're sinning some more. Stop listening to your own heart. I'm sure it's helped a lot of people. I used to preach in a Help and Up mission down in downtown Baltimore, 150 men plus. And I got in there one night and a bell came on. And I said, man, you are a new creature in Christ. You can never get victory with the motto, I am a recovering alcoholic, or I'm a recovering drug addict, or I'm a recovering harlot, or whatever. You cannot get victory that way. The way you get victory is to be the pain of helping somebody to listen, is to realize you're a new creature in Christ, and quit referring to what you're coming from. Just say, I'm a new creature. I am clean. I am what? I am made holy in Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
It's not the This is the way God sees you. Isaiah 55. Come on, lady, let me get it done. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. For I know the thoughts to you, Jeremiah 29, that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
That's right, amen.
In your life.
Yes, sir.
You're over there thinking, woe is me about tomorrow. I'm like, how am I going to make it through? What am I going to do through the next day of my life? God doesn't think that way in your life. Margaret Slattery wrote a book called Living Teachers. In that, she tells of a community in which a stranger came to settle and engage in the practice of law. She said he had immersed himself in the legal work and was seen sometimes walking at the eventide. Said he always walked alone, walked through the city with his head down. Always had a look on his face of mental distress. She said one day he confessed to an artist who was standing outside the studio. He said that he made one terrible, sad mistake in his life. He walked on in his despair. The artist said nothing, but left the party in front and went back into the studio. Weeks later, the man was walking dejected down the street. The artist came to the door and invited him in, asked him to view a painting that he had made, that he had done. The man and lawyer walked in there, dejected but interested that this man would want his opinion on a portrait. She said he walked into the studio and was caught by surprise. The portrait was of himself. He said when he looked at that portrait, it was definitely him. It was his face. It was his body structure. But in the portrait, his shoulders were not thrown down. His head was held erect. There was ambition and desire and hope upon the face of the man in the portrait. He stood there in silence for quite a while, and then the man said this within himself. He said, if he sees me like that, if he thinks that I can be that man, then I think so too. And what is more, I will be that man in the portrait.
Amen.
I don't see you the way you see you. God doesn't see you the way everybody else sees you. He sees you as a child of God covered in the blood, or if you're lost this morning, he sees you as a sinner, his creation, who is headed to hell by your own sin. But instead, I sent my son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to save you. If you just call upon my son, I'll save you from yourself, from your sin, and from your destiny of hell. In the word of God, Hagar saw herself as used, defeated, trampled down, but God saw her as a mother of a great nation.
Yes, sir.
Rahab saw herself as a heathen harlot, but God saw her as a mother in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Noah saw himself as the lone servant of God, but God saw him as the builder of the ark that would preserve the human race. Esther saw herself as a nobody. God saw her as the beauty queen of the kingdom. The woman with the alabaster box realized herself as filthy, but God realized her as clean. How can she ever love again and have a clean relationship with a husband? How is this going to happen? By ignoring the Pharisees in the room and seeing it the way God sees it and accepting and embracing what Christ thinks about her. That's how you get up and go on and have a glorious life for God.
Amen.
You ignore the crowd that hates you for what you did.
Yeah.
And you embrace the Christ who saved you from what you did.
Amen.
There's an awesome story going on all around us of a great and merciful God bringing people back to himself.
Yes,
a story in every child of God listening today of God in his great grace rescuing you further and further away from your great failure and sins. An unbelievable story of redemption taking place in the life of every saint of God. A story whose final and never-ending chapter will be a new heavenly life. Void of sorrows, of sin and shame. I'm filled with eternal joy and peace. I mean, in God's mind, you're already there, seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2 says this.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Child of God is taking you somewhere. Just go with Him. And accept the way He sees you and your life. The Lord seeth not, as man seeth. You can listen to your naysayers and you'll live in defeat.
Yes, sir, brother.
You can listen to your own heart and you'll live in defeat. Or you can listen to the God of all gods, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, your Creator and Savior, and you can live a life full of joy, peace, and victory as you are, right now today before you, in the cleanness of the blood of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Cleansing away all sin, all shame,
yes, sir,
all bitterness,
Amen.
All despairs.
Yes, sir.
God sees you different. Start looking at it the way He does. Start looking at yourself the way He does. And if you're lost, God ain't going to send you to Him. If you have to leave, God would send you to Him. He sends nobody to Him. We just can't go to heaven because we're filthy full of sin. So God made a way through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said this, whosoever just believe on My Son, they go to heaven. In other words, whosoever will accept My Son's blood payment on the cross, sacrificial payment,
yes,
on their behalf, I'll save them from their sins.
Amen.
And take them to heaven.
Yes.
And everybody else that don't want to do that, you're just taking yourself to heaven.
Yes, sir.
God ain't doing it. He sees the whole thing different than we do.